This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580. I'm Celeste Quinnan. This afternoon, in this portion of the program, we're going to talk about gardening. Two guests join me in the studio to talk with you, our listeners. Diane Noland and Chuck Voigt are our guests. They're happy to answer your questions about plants in the home landscape. We look forward to your questions, comments, ideas. You can join us with a telephone call. If you're in the Champaign-Urbana area, the number 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Diane teaches in the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences at the University of Illinois. She's the co-author with Kristen Bolin of Perennials for the Landscape. She's also the author of the textbook Floral Design and Interior Landscape Management. She's the host of Illinois Gardener on our companion station, WILL-TV. The show airs live on Thursday evening and is repeated Saturday morning. Chuck is State Vegetable and Herb Extension Specialist in the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Sciences. He's the co-author with J.S. Vandermark of Vegetable Gardening in the Midwest. He's also a regular guest here on the Afternoon Magazine, as is Diane, although we haven't seen them for quite some time. I'm very happy they're here this afternoon. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. Welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Good to see you. Got some sunshine today here in the studio, not outside.
That's right.
Warmth and sunshine here in the studio. So this cold weather.
To celebrate, I went ice skating over the Neumar. That's what gardeners are supposed to do.
Yeah.
Relax.
Well, what we said during the weathercast this afternoon and during the newscast, we were talking about this isn't a cold snap. It's a lingering bout.
That's right.
So what kind of impact is it going to have?
Well, we've each seen impact in our own yards this morning before we left. Some things are just going to have to leaf out again.
Yeah.
Some of the shrub, I have Viburnum carlisii, and your shrub?
Viburnum opulus.
And they are just, flagging.
Yeah. They'll be brown and crisp eventually.
Yeah. So eventually, though, that will go away and they'll come back?
Yeah, they pretty much can make backup buds that break and fill it in. The problem would be with things that flower. They have their flower buds set up last fall, and if they were advanced enough so that those were showing, they may, would say maybe lilacs could be in jeopardy and some others. Mm. Other things.
Peaches.
We might lose the season of bloom on most anything.
Yeah, there was a story yesterday. We had a story in the newscast about the apple crop, and today grapes are also at risk.
Wow.
Illinois vineyards are going to see some problems, perhaps, so we'll see. We've got a listener waiting to talk with you. Listener in Champaign, line one. Hi.
Hello. I have a question about butterfly weed. I have a plant, and it every year produces pods, and I don't usually pay any attention to them. But this year I collected them. But now I don't know whether they need to freeze before I plant them. Should I start them indoors? So what should I do with my butterfly weed seed pods?
Diane's excited.
Yes, because I taught butterfly weed, Asclepias tuberosa, yesterday in my perennials class. So this is wonderful timing. They can be used fairly fresh, like you have harvested them. So I would go ahead once it's past, probably after Mother's Day, sow them directly. And you don't want to sow them too thickly. And I like to put just a little bit of loose soil over them, even potting soil, so I can tell where they are. Mm-hmm. Water them daily. Sometimes I do it twice a day. And it will take several weeks, but I germinated some last summer, and I would pick them every year and try to get more because they're hard to transplant. They're very deeply rooted. It's a native prairie plant, and they're very hard to transplant. But the little seedlings in the first year, once they get going well, you can transplant those.
Oh, great. One more question. Do I open the pods or do I plant the pods?
You open the pods, and there's quite a few things in there, just because it's in the milkweed family, if you visualize.
Yeah. Yes, I know what they look like, little
right.
milkweed things.
Yeah. And you separate them out, and there's going to be a little fluffy part to it, and you don't really need that. That's just for air dispersal.
Oh, so I can pull that off.
Yes, and if it's in, if you want to just put it in there too, it's going to provide mulch. But it you separate it out and then plant them.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
333-9455, 800-222-9455, if you'd like to talk with Chuck Voigt and Diane Noland. Someone wants to know about the cold snap and disease problem and rust. The question is, will this be good news in terms of eliminating, I would imagine, rust, cedar, apple rust, that is jumping back and forth between apple trees and cedar trees? Will it have any impact at all?
We're pondering.
Mm-hmm. Off the top of my head, I would say that's too good to be true.
Mm, yeah.
Because I think there are, you know, multiple spores around, and boy, I don't know if it'd be far enough along that it would die with the leaf that it's on.
This might be a we'll see.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that. We've not had quite this same scenario before.
The cedar phase seems like would be fine. And it would just be how far the apple leaves are open and how far developed the rust, that generation of the rust was on them.
Mm-hmm.
But I would suspect it. There's enough spores around that it could, even if it defoliates and refoliates, I think it might lessen it on apples, but probably not on junipers.
Okay. What about pests? What about insect pests?
This is a very small blip on the screen for them,
yeah,
actually. And if they're still a soil-borne and haven't come out, it may not change it. But I think what probably helped was that long, was it, when did we get, we had, January was summer, or at least spring, and then February was winter. So I think that longer bout of very cold weather we had, the famous Valentine's Day snows might actually have helped.
Oh, yeah, that big snow we had in February.
But this little weak thing isn't that big of a deal for most insects.
Yeah.
They
tough
can just
critters,
kind of find little hidden places and just kind of become very, very inactive. And then when they warm up again, they're back doing their insect stuff.
Yeah. One of the things that I've been thinking about is taking the tulips that are still okay in my yard. They're the ones that are up close to the house, cutting them and bringing them in.
That's probably a great idea.
Yeah, because I don't think they're not going to withstand.
I went out and harvested quite a few daffodils,
mm-hmm.
but the pansies still looked pretty good this morning.
Yeah, they're tough.
They looked pretty good. The hyacinths looked a little bit wiltier, but the ones near the house looked pretty good.
Yeah. Now, but do I have to worry about, you know, them like going, whoa, from the icebox into the oven?
I store tulips at about 34 degrees in my cooler at school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's not that far off.
Oh, okay. Well, and we're at 36.
That's right. So when you bring them in, if you put just all of them in a vase, they'll kind of weep over. But if you want them to stay straighter until you design them, put them in a taller vase. And that'll keep the stem straight.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can cut them and put them into a shorter vase, and they'll just kind of loop over. It's just nothing prettier than an all-tulip arrangement. But they will continue to grow, Celeste, so you need to keep that in mind. They'll gain an inch or two on the stem because they're still a living, growing plant, even in a cut flower solution.
Really?
Yes. And they suggest to use floral preservative to keep the bacteria down in the water, although they don't need the sugar. Tulips have everything they need at that point, but they will grow. They will stretch. It's called stretching.
That's interesting. I just thought maybe they were just flopping, but they're growing.
They're growing, and with the elongated stem and mm-hmm. the weight of the flower, it's really a very pretty response. But they will follow the light and orient themselves to the light.
If you had them in an arrangement where they were horizontal, they would tend to...
They'll do a little flip-up.
A little flip-up at the end.
They will. It's very pretty.
Let's talk with another listener. A caller in Piatt County on line 4. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
My sister called from, I didn't get to talk to her, she left a message. She lives an hour and a half south of here near Mattoon, and she said that her peonies were looking very droopy because of the weather, and mine here in Piatt County look fine. And I was just wondering, she said she was asking me if she should cover them up this evening, or are they just, I mean, because I just thought peonies would be tough.
Actually, I had someone ask me that this morning about their peonies. Now, the buds shouldn't be showing. It should be just the foliage.
Well, she said that's it. The foliage was leaning, like drooping.
Oh, that's a bad sign.
Okay.
But it's just the outer ones, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So it could. She may want to put a bushel basket over them.
Okay. Yeah, because mine are fine here, and they're certainly not more protected than hers. So
Maybe it could be a low-lying area that those particular peonies are in.
Okay, I'll ask.
Plants nearby them. But it could just have been a little blip on the screen for her. But no, I've been seeing lots of the weeds. Look kind of droopy. I'm happy about that.
And they could be enough more advanced in Mattoon that they were more
right.
susceptible to it. If ours are tighter and not as open, they would not be as subject to it, I don't think.
And they had warmer weathers, warmer temperatures
yeah,
each day.
They were almost out of the worst of the snow zone, so they would have rewarmed a lot quicker than we did here where we were.
The being farther ahead could actually have worked in its to a negative.
Okay. And I was also going to say that my 6-foot lilac, the leaves just look so droopy, too. I just never saw that, but I guess I'm not going to cover it up.
You really can't. A shrub has to do it on its own.
Yeah,
but
that's right.
I do think they will push out a few more leaves. But
the leaves probably aren't a problem. But if the flowers are showing, they tend to just get kind of hard and dry and never finish developing and open up.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for your help.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Bye.
If you've got a question about gardening this afternoon, give us a call. Chuck Voigt and Diane Noland are with us, and they can help. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Well, would folks have cool weather crops in the ground?
Chuck and I were just talking about this yesterday. It's even too chilly for some of the cool vegetable crops.
And the soil is, like things that you would seed, the soil is way too wet at this point, and the combination of cold and wet, even for cool season things, not going to work too well. Maybe something like spinach that can germinate in the fall and kind of overwinter might work, because it has a pretty low temperature requirement and doesn't seem to mind wet, cold soil. But like peas and those kinds of things that you would normally try to get out early.
Mm-hmm. They'll freeze.
The
leaf.
If they germinate, they'll freeze, but they may just rot in the ground before they actually come up. So I would say wait till the soil warms up a little bit and dries out a little bit, and then you won't lose that much in timing. Because just having them sit in cold, wet soil, they're not going to do much anyway. So you might lose a day of maturity, even if it's a week or 10 days delay in when you plant them. So I would kind of sit tight and wait for that soil to dry out and mellow up and the temperature to come up so that they can absorb water and germinate pretty fast.
And Chuck, what about those folks who have their broccoli out, which is not me? I brought it in. I brought my little flats of broccoli in.
Well, if you have hot caps or something and you can cover them up with that, that will give them a few degrees of freeze protection. That will give them frost protection. I don't know about freeze protection. If we get down in the low 20s, that's
pushing it.
That's pushing maybe something like...
Well, Ed's forecast for Saturday night is 18 in Champaign-Urbana.
Oh, that's pushing
that's,
it. That's beyond pushing it.
That might even go beyond what a wall of water or anything could protect. I don't know.
Could they do a wall of water and floating row cover?
Maybe.
And then maybe an electric blanket on medium.
And then a high tunnel greenhouse.
A duvet.
A space little, heater with a cord.
Space pull it all out. Let's talk with another listener, a caller on a cell phone in Danville on line one. Hi.
Yes, I think you folks just covered it, but I missed the first half about the cold weather crops like cabbage and Brussels sprouts and things. And that was what my question is going to be, but I missed the first half by waiting online.
I would say wait till this stretch is over before you do anything with them. If they're already out, you're going to have to do some heavy-duty protection, because I just learned that it's worse than I thought. It may go as low as 18, which is more than a plastic hot cap or or a floating row cover can really protect Ooh. From.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's what I was curious yeah. about.
So I would if you're going to seed things, I'd wait till the soil warms up and dries out a little. If you haven't transplanted things, I would just keep hardening them off in the seed flats and don't put them outside because they're going to be way easier to put somewhere where they can be protected if they're still in a seed flat. As you put them out on the ground and they're cool weather crops, but they still, as it gets down into the low 20s even, they'll freeze. And even in the fall when they gradually get exposed to cold weather, there's a point in the low 20s where the leaves eventually will freeze. And when it's just a little seedling with four or five leaves, it's really devastating to them. So try to hold off if you haven't planted. And if you have, get really, really serious about layering some protection over them.
Right. Okay, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Ed says tomorrow night, 17 in Champaign-Urbana.
Well, that Ed's just a pessimist.
But he could be correct.
Yeah,
well, he's a man of science.
I didn't say he was wrong.
He predicted, actually, that he'd be in for some bashing this afternoon. And I said, it's not your fault, Ed.
No.
He goes, but I'm the messenger.
That's right.
Right. If you're going to take credit for it when it's beautiful, you have to take the blame a little bit when it's not.
But we do, as gardeners, have to display some self-control. So and March is March. Mm-hmm. So I know. I just was fortunate I didn't have time to do anything.
And April 5th is April 5th.
April 5th is early.
We're still, We got, it was just that bout of really warm weather. It just all... We're all confused.
And
the plants are confused.
With
We're
bouts
confused.
Of warm weather, get out there and get the garden ready. Weed,
yeah,
mulch.
All that heavy lifting stuff. Do it now.
But you always have to do that, and you're always thinking, I wish I had already done that.
Yeah.
Well, that bout was perfect for that in between. And all of those early weeds are coming out, all the chickweed and the little mustards, that would be the time to... Would have been the time to get those weeds.
Well, when it's nice and cool like this, I mean, nice, relatively speaking. I mean, you can get out there and do some work. And you can really work.
Oh, and it's great.
It's perfect. Okay. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Urbana on line two. Hi. Is there a caller there on line two?
Hello?
Hi there.
Yes. I was wondering what to do with some amaryllis bulbs. I brought some amaryllis bulbs from Florida. They had the green leaves on them. They have not bloomed down there. So I cut the green leaves off, and then I'm letting them dry. Is there any chance that I could get them to bloom later on?
Well, you do put them through a dormancy period. And in our greenhouse, we basically water them until, the leaves look really nice, and then we dry them. So I guess cutting them off gave it a very quick dormancy period. But normally
you'd leave the
leaves on.
So that the nutrients in them can migrate into the bulb and help to feed it.
Oh.
But typically
it may not hurt it.
If you plant them outdoors here during the summer, even if they don't flower by fall when they're ready to go dormant again or their leaves get frosted or whatever, usually they'll have a flower bud set up inside them by then. So
I was wondering if I should put them in the refrigerator or something like that for a few months.
They don't.
Not necessary.
They don't need a chilling.
It's a pretty tropical plant. So for, you can put it back outside once it gets nice and just let it leaf out again.
Once they get dry, they'll hold for quite a while. And when they get tired of waiting, they'll show you by sending out either the start of a flower stalk or a leaf. So once you get them dried out, you can just kind of keep them for a while if that's what you want to do. If you don't want to plant them until you get back down to Florida, which would be a long time.
Well, then there's your dormancy right there. And then just plant them up when you get back there and probably a little bit of...
Put them in a cool, dry spot.
Yeah,
possible?
Relatively cool.
In the basement where it's cool and dry.
Oh, I see what you're saying. No, once you pot them back up, you want to have
I think she's storing them dry.
No, I want to store them and not pot them until fall.
I see.
Yeah, cool and dry.
That's correct.
Cool and dry, and just keep an eye on them. And if they start shooting out a flower stalk or something, you may want to pot them up and get them into the light so that you save that flower cluster rather than just let. Because I've had things that I'd stored like that, and you come back and you haven't checked them in a while, and here's this this strange white flower stalk that's gone through a really perverted life cycle and is you've missed the wonderful flowers that it would have been. So just keep an eye on them, you know, every couple
of
weeks.
All right. It's an experiment.
That's good. Wondering. And a little tip for the next time is in our greenhouse, we just let them go dry and the leaves dry up, and we don't take them out of the pot. We just turn them on their side in a shelf.
Oh,
and it really makes it easy because you don't have to handle the bulb so much. And then after you let it come out of dormancy,
let it just dry up with the leaves on them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let the soil dry out as fast as it will. And then once that happens, the bulb will say, well, I'm not getting any moisture, and the leaves will start to gradually die. And it'll save as much of the nutrients that's in the leaves as possible.
Okay, I'll do it differently.
And it's actually easier. So
okay.
it does make it so you don't have to handle it as much.
All righty. Thank
Good
you.
Luck.
Thank you very much.
Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign on line one. Hi.
Is this line one?
Yep, that's you. Okay. Hi.
I have some tulips that haven't opened yet.
Good.
So should I cut them out and take them in, or will they survive?
How much color? Is there any color at all showing?
No.
Well, usually when we get them in as a cut flower, you can tell the color.
Oh, I think it'll be red, but...
Well, yeah,
but
it has to be showing for them to go ahead and develop
a little bit of color.
Oh,
because if they're just green buds, it's probably too soon to get them to go through the rest of the cycle.
Okay.
Do you have a lot of them?
No, I don't have many.
Because you could, they're tougher than say the cold crops of the vegetable garden because they're not used to being outdoors. You could just throw a blanket over them and see if that will help.
Build like a framework so the blanket doesn't
crush
them.
Exactly. That's why I always think bushel baskets, too, because that gives you a little bit of frame, and then the blanket could go over that.
Oh, a second. Also, I have raspberry leaves coming out, and I wondered, is that going to hurt the raspberries?
Depending on how far out they are, it may just... May just burn them back, the part that's expanded, and then depending on whether or not their flower bud's showing, that usually they'll develop from the top down. So the ones that are the farthest advanced may be hurt, and the ones farther down may continue to develop. So it's just wait and see.
third and last question. I planted carnations for the first time last year, and I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. The leaves are still there. Do I cut them down or what?
The outdoor garden?
Yeah.
The leaves are still green?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Well, then they can be, some types can be evergreen. In this case, they're kind of blue-green. But they can be evergreen, so I would not do anything. It's really taking away the older browning growth.
Oh, yeah, some are brown, but some are green.
That's really all. You don't really want to cut back an evergreen plant, so you can take out the browning ones. And I learned it the hard way because I had educational experience in my class, and I said, "Now cut back everything," and they cut back thyme and sage and. And carnations are in that. They're not woody like those things, but you don't really have to cut them back. And you're making me think about lavender. You never want to cut lavender back until you are sure it is a goner because lavender does not need to be cut back normally. Now, this year, I think we're going to have to cut it back. It may have died back to the roots this year just because of all
the... Mine are just, still growing.
Excellent.
But they kind of flop. They're floppy, the carnations.
The flower part, the stem or the leaves?
The green, yeah.
Well, the clump tends to spread out as it gets older.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know that that's a bad thing because it'll throw up more flowers if it has a broader base.
Yeah.
Now, when it's warmer and actively growing, it'll probably realign its leaves.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You're very welcome. So if the lavender has died back all the way,
I try to wait a little bit. Now, I deadhead the flowers, and you can do that anytime.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to wait to when it's actively, supposedly weather for actively growing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can start to see that you might have it die back a third.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could die back from the roots, too.
The buds start to show... At the highest point where it's not dead, And so it'll kind of tell you,
okay,
I'm dead back to here, because it will proliferate a whole bunch of them, whether that's 6 inches back or whether that's right back down at the crown. Or I've had some that died back below the ground, which
yes, I have
is
too.
Really sad.
And it may be this year, because there was no transition temperatures this year.
No.
Twice.
Even my garlic looks horrible, most of it.
Oh, my.
It's terrible.
So if it's died back all the way, is it goners, or is it?
It'll come from the roots.
It'll come
often
from the roots.
Not
yeah.
Every.
Yeah. Don't give up. Don't crossed. Give up on it until okay. until it doesn't show up by midsummer. But
there are some lavenders that are annuals, and so you know.
Yeah. This is a perennial. Also, okay. I'm thinking about one of these days we need to divide it. When's the time to divide an evergreen?
It's hard to divide lavender.
I would try to start cuttings or something rather than divide them,
all
because
right.
they're just woody plants and they don't.
It's done very well where it is. So.
You know, unless the lower branches droop down and it like roots, sometimes it will make little. You could layer it around.
That's what you should do. The outlying ones, you just wound it underneath and pin it down.
Okay.
With a part of a hanger or any kind of a wire or even a brick
or a rock.
And then leave it there for a while, water it, and it will actually form roots at that point. And then you cut back to the mother plant, so the roots are there. Let them grow, and then transplant it somewhere else, farther away.
But it doesn't really, branch out at the crown so that you have multiple plants together, like a lot of the perennials.
Okay. It'll be interesting to figure out where to put it. Maybe I'll give it away.
There you go. That'd be nice.
A nice present for somebody. Let's talk with another caller. Listener in Urbana, line 2. Hi.
Hi. Just wanted to call and check on what I should do with pepper plants this year. Last year, myself and several of my friends who planted peppers ended up with very tall plants. We didn't get a lot of flowers until mid to late summer. And then when we did get peppers, they were small. To medium size, and they really didn't perform well at all last year. Was there a blight of some kind around here, or?
Well, there are some things that tend to build up as the season goes along. So, if they weren't developing early when it's relatively easy, they can lose some vigor toward the end, and there's some viruses and some things that can come in, or some leaf spots and all sorts of problems that can come in.
Well, the plants ended up getting very tall,
right,
and kind of stringy, and or woody, I want to say, I guess. And they didn't actually pop any peppers until pretty much the end of the season.
These bell peppers?
Yeah.
Okay, and out in the full sun?
Yep.
Okay.
And you didn't over-fertilize, did you?
Don't think I did, but,
sounds to me like they were really happy.
Usually what happens when you over-fertilize is they get huge, but they still make peppers, and the plants are just brittle, and they want to break off more so than not get peppers.
Well, the plants are real sturdy.
Right.
Okay. I used a little bone meal. In with them.
Oh, that should be fine.
Yeah. It may have been a pollination problem. It seems to me I remember that on some things we had a hot spell when pumpkins didn't set up, and it may have affected peppers the same way. If the temperature is over a certain minimum, which I don't recall, the pepper blossoms will actually just abort and keep falling off until it gets more favorable. So the other thing is that bell peppers are the least fruitful of all the peppers. So you might want to hedge your bets and get something in one of the elongated sweet peppers, like a gypsy or a key largo or one of those other kinds that sets up fruit a lot more easily.
And really tastes good, too.
It doesn't have the bitterness that some of the green bell peppers have. And I would try a different type than you had last year, and hopefully
get five different types. I mean,
I have one other quick question that I'm not sure if there's anything I can do about it or not. I've got hostas that it always seems like everyone else's hostas bloom bigger and longer than mine do. Is there I mean, am I underwatering these things? Am I, you know, they're in.
Is it the same variety?
I'm sorry?
Is it the same cultivar?
I could say they look like the same variety, but I couldn't be honest. And so they were here when we moved in, so I'm not sure 100% of the variety.
Because there are summer bloomers and mm-hmm. fall bloomers.
Oh, I see. Summer. These are summer.
White?
Or lavender?
White and lavender, both.
Okay. Well, the whites tend to be a lot more full, and the lavender is a little bit more hanging down and a little bit, I'd say, not as showy. But I can't imagine unless, I mean, the plant itself looks really nice, big, full leaves.
Right. Then what's the length of bloom usually?
Oh, well, I shouldn't tell you this, but I actually know people who trim off the hosta flowers and right. want the foliage to be emphasized. So I'd say 10 days, 2 weeks maybe.
Ours might, yeah. Maybe I'm just underestimating them. Maybe they may get about that amount of time. I just thought maybe they were supposed to bloom a little longer than that.
Well, if we would have cooler nights and, you know, a little bit less heat, we just are in a very hot part. So in England, they probably have them for a month, but it's because we have nice sunshine and a little bit more warmth that they don't last as long.
Right. Well, they're parked under a magnolia tree. And
you've got drought, then you've got some drying.
Yeah, and depending on the year, our magnolia tree, you know, blossoms maybe twice to three times. You know, we've seen three times on our tree. So I don't know. I just didn't know if it was the ground temperature, the water level, if I need to water them more or what. So
well, there will be some moisture deficit under a magnolia because they're shallow rooted.
Okay.
So you don't really want to mulch them because of the slug incidents, but you could do some watering in the morning and under the leaves.
Okay.
But not overdo it, so then the slugs also like moisture as well. Right. So, but yes, I imagine the magnolia is probably taking some of the moisture.
Yeah, I hadn't even really thought about that.
Yeah, so. That would speed the flower drop.
Yes, it would.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Let's go next to Mattoon, listener on line 4. Hi.
Yes, I'm down here in the tropics.
Wow, let's go.
What is it, about 40 there now? Yeah.
Surf's up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got some perennials that are, you know, up anywhere from an inch, 2 or 3 inches,
mm-hmm.
like catmint and coriopsis.
Oh, yes.
And Shasta daisies and things like that. And I'm wondering, should I be covering those up?
Well, do you happen to have any floating row cover or anything like sheets,
maybe?
I've got
an old tarp.
Well, they actually say that fabric is a little bit better than plastic.
Mm-hmm.
So it's what our grandmas used to do was get the sheets out.
Get out the old sheets.
But as Chuck mentioned, if you have something that will support it a little bit,
Gives you some dead air space under
a
frame, because where the leaf touches the sheet, you also get the chilling right there.
Yeah. Well, also, we made the mistake of on Tuesday morning in a fit of madness, we moved a rose bush.
Oh, you definitely want to trim cover that.
Well, I've got a great big box over it.
Oh, that's excellent.
Yeah, it's one of those little, you know, if you can't grow roses, you can grow this.
Mm-hmm.
I forget what they're called, but they're kind of a nice little rose.
Well, so, boxes are good. And
you just have to hope for the best.
That's right. Uh-huh. And did your rose die back quite a bit in the tropics?
No, it did not. I tell you, I've got about an 8-foot board fence around part of my yard, and this is in a corner of that fence. So
I think that
helps.
Because I've noticed my shrub roses are really quite dying back.
Well, this looked pretty good, but now after the shock that it had on Tuesday morning and then the cold weather, I you know, we'll just have to, if it comes out of this, they really are miraculous.
You'll have to check back with us later on in the year.
Check with the company. You might want to do a testimonial if that works out. That
and get some free ones from them.
Idea. Yeah. And, you know, you mentioned viburnum a while ago, and mine looks a little odd, and it had just bloomed out. It was that one that smells so good.
Oh, that's that it's Korean spice viburnum.
Yes, that's it.
Love that one. That's the one that is all hanging, drooping at my house.
Well, I think this is on the way to that, probably. Oh. Is there any use in covering it now, or is it too late after it's had one bad night?
Well, mine looked too late. But
two bad nights.
Yeah.
Wow.
It sounds like there's worse coming.
Yes, it does. That's right. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy the show.
Next, we talk with a listener in Champaign on line one. Good afternoon.
Yeah. Are there any prairie plant shows where, you know, in terms of in terms of seeds? And I'd like to do maybe, I've got a spot that I'd like to put maybe, you know, plants or something or other.
Well, I think the Grand Prairie Friends has a sale each year around Mother's Day.
They do plants.
They do plants.
Okay. And it's called the what? The
Grand Prairie Friends.
And they have a website.
Okay.
Yes, check that out.
And sometimes they're at the Urbana Farmers Market, yeah, too, I believe, with plants. So you might check all of those
and
things with
sometimes
them.
Sometimes they also are part of the herb sale.
Yes.
At the
Lincoln
Square or the Urbana Free Library, wherever it's held these days.
Right.
Okay.
Early in May, I think.
Is there any? What's happened is I have an area that's a fair size that the previous owner, I've only had a house for a couple years, had a swimming pool, unfortunately, there and above ground, and they had sand and some other stuff. Is there anything that would grow in that, or would I'd have to put a layer of black dirt on top of that, or any suggestions?
Is what's there covering up what was there before, or is it dug out and just a hole filled with sand?
Yeah, unfortunately, it was dug out.
And the hole, it's all sand?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, not a lot of sand, but sand, and I would assume under that would be clay, I would assume. Because what they did is they moved the dirt to the side.
Hmm.
And put it out.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
If it was a lot of sand, that would actually help clay, but if it's a little bit of sand, that actually makes sidewalk, you know, with the clay.
Mm-hmm.
So you may want to check that out. You're going to need lots and lots of compost, it sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And just start working it in. Because I had an area that the clay got flipped upside down when we built our house. And it's taken quite a few years and lots of mulch, something to break it down in. You could go on, start now and do little sections of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to think, what would grow in sandy? I mean, there's some things that prefer sand.
Well, there are sand prairies, so I would think the plants that do well in those would do well there. Some of the blazing stars, I think, like sand prairies. And
you might go online and check, look for sand prairies and see what they say. But this may be more sand. I mean, usually it's a sandy loam.
Right. There are some prairie plant nurseries that would be online, too, so while you're in there.
I'm trying to think of the prairie nursery. It's Neil Diebold. I think his name. He's in Wisconsin. Oh, I can't think of his company, but
I think there's one called Prairie Moon that's in the eastern corner of Minnesota too. So
don't go south when you're looking at prairie. go this region and north.
Right. Yeah, the good ones will actually have seed that's sourced from lots of different locations, and you can get not just a little blue stem. You can get a little blue stem from north central Illinois or east central Illinois. Or they have a lot of different seed sources so that they're not just this right species, but they're the right ecotype for where you are.
Condition. Okay. Well, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Next, we go to a listener in Urbana on line three. Hi.
Yes, I was wondering if it's too late to use pre-emergent stuff on grass.
I don't think it would be. Usually those are for crabgrass, and I think that's like a soil temperature of 60 or 65. So I don't, even though we had an 80-degree day, I don't think the soil temperature has gotten that high yet. So I think we're still okay.
Yeah, I think the caller hung up. And to find out the soil temperature, I'm going to I don't know why that's funny, Chuck. Anyway, the soil temperature is given in the opening, when Ed Kieser does the 9:35,
and that is so helpful,
weather forecast. See, when you giggle like that, you tickle me, and then I lose.
I'm sorry. I'm just not used to getting hung up on here on WIRL.
I think she just wanted to take the answer off the air.
I'm
sure.
Okay. And I wasn't laughing at you, Chuck, or anything.
That's true.
So anyway, the soil temperature, Ed gives it, or Mike or whomever mm-hmm. gives it at the 4-inch and the 8-inch level. And
yes.
I think it's in
yes.
the 50s at the moment.
So then we're good for the
last morning edition weathercast.
And it's probably heading down, not up right now.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Mom's weekend is coming up.
Oh, yes. Be sure to come to the 52nd annual Mom's Weekend Flower Show on Pennsylvania Avenue in the Stock Pavilion. The Horticulture Club puts that on, and it is fabulous.
Award-winning horticulture club.
So two-thirds of it is gardens and design, and then one-third plants to sell. And my floral design club is doing the floral design exhibit, which is why the show started 52 years ago, a floral design exhibit.
It was your class.
It was.
I'm teasing you.
Okay. I'm holding up really well, aren't I? But it was Professor Culbert who when he retired, I took his place. It was Professor Culbert's class.
I had just had to tease you a little bit here this afternoon.
So we're only two generations of instructors into the flower show.
It is. It is only two generations of instructors.
Yeah.
Because we love our jobs.
So those folks that are at work, your students, they're working with greenhouse and refrigeration and stuff. So they have
some really nice perennials maturing in the greenhouse that they've been in there for a couple of months now.
Okay. They've worked on it all school year.
I saw some white bleeding hearts in there that were just really
beautiful.
Nice.
Yeah.
Ed Kieser sneaked in. While we were talking.
Trying to defend himself.
He's good.
He's so good. Look what he gave us. Here's the soil temperature.
4-inch level, it's 43 degrees. And at the 8-inch level, 50 degrees. Thank you, Ed.
Thanks, Ed. We probably have I guess we don't really have time for another call. Anything else you want to talk about while we're here? Any other floral events? What's the herb of the year? What's the perennial of the year? Is there an annual
perennial
of
plant
year?
Of the year uh-huh. is catmint Walker's Low, Nepeta Ficinii Walker's Low, and it's a 2 to 3 foot tall one. It's not a short one. It was found in Ireland, and that's the location. It's referring to the location in Ireland, but that's a real pretty one.
And lemon balm is the herb of the year this year.
Okay.
And International Herb Association has a wonderful little booklet about it. It's not just a plant that reseeds itself in your backyard and makes you grumble when you mow the lawn. It smells like lemons. It really has some real interesting history and medicinal usage. And
excellent for sun tea.
Right. It's called balm because it actually is soothing and has some therapeutic effects. So.
Yeah.
It's a good chance to learn more about it.
If you use it more, it will not reseed your yard.
If you keep it cut back so
you
it doesn't ever set back. Seed, then it's not like a lot of other things in the mint family. It doesn't spread
not that way.
By stolens or anything. It's easy to keep
under control. I think it's a nice plant.
It's beautiful. I love the glossy yellow-green leaves puckered.
Well, there we'll leave it. Next time, let's hope the weather will be better when we talk with you.
Who would know we could plant it for right after really
maybe we'll
cold
have
snap.
You back in May or June.
Great.
It ought to be safe then, right?
We hope.
Okay. And Diane, you're on tonight, right?
Yes.
On TV?
7 p.m.
Okay. Illinois Gardener, Diane Nolan, Chuck Voigt, thank you very much.
Thanks.